But we will be taking a love offering for Brother Bucher at the end of this service. And if you're not prepared here this morning, you can also designate this evening as well. But we want to encourage him, provide for him, help as he is on the path of raising support and traveling around church to church. This morning, let me ask you if you want to turn to Exodus chapter 20. In your Bibles, Exodus chapter 20. If you're using one of the pew Bibles, it's on page 115. I read a story this week, probably not true, but a good story nonetheless, about a vacationing family as they drove through a forested mountain region. And they came to a fork in the road, and the direction that the father thought that they should go was marked by a large sign that said, "Road closed, do not enter." But the man was confident that he didn't need to heed that warning. You know, he thought, well, maybe it's leftover from earlier in the year when the weather was bad, when the road was maybe blocked by snow, or maybe it's just a really narrow road, and you know, the faint of heart wouldn't do well, but I'll be just fine. So they ventured, they drove around the sign and ventured down that path. And the father was convinced that this would be a more picturesque travel and also more efficient route in getting them where they were wanting to go. And it looked like that's how it was going to be, at least for a while. And admittedly, the road was narrow, but it was a beautiful winding lane under a canopy of huge pine trees. And oftentimes the trees would open up and offer these stunning vistas of the countryside below them. Now, the man's wife hadn't been in favor of this little side adventure from the get-go. And about a half hour down the road, the father began to boast about his discernment, his sense of direction, his skill as a driver. But that didn't last, because he was ultimately humbled when they came to another sign, this one across the entire road, telling them that the bridge ahead of them had collapsed. So without saying a word, the father, you know, got the car turned around. It took about eight little seesaws, you know, to get turned around on this narrow road. And they began the silent journey back down to the main road. When they finally got to the fork where this little side expedition had begun, the mom had to kind of contain her laughter, because someone had painted on the back of that original sign, "Welcome back, stupid." Now, my point in telling that story isn't to say that dads really ought to follow directions when driving, though if that's something that you need, Dad, you can go ahead and take that to heart. But my point is more like this. Instructions along the path of life are there for a reason. And be careful of telling yourself that you know better. And one such instruction that God gives us very plainly along the path of life is the fifth commandment about honoring your father and your mother. And sadly, there are a lot of young people in particular who reach a point in their journey of life where they think that the command to honor their parents is a warning that can be ignored, sidestepped, driven around, if you will. And young people, let me say to you, you do so at your own peril. And that's the implication of the passage that we'll be studying this morning. It's just one verse, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Let's take a look at it together. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." And if you would be prompted to ask why, God gives us the answer: "That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Now, I mentioned last week that there's another recording of the Ten Commandments for us over in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and it's mostly the same as what we read in Exodus 20, but some of the commandments include a little bit of variation. And in Deuteronomy 5, we have the same commandment, but it adds a little bit more to the explanation. He adds, "That it may go well with thee, and thy days may be long on the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And of course, the implications are, and if you don't honor your father and mother, it won't go so well with you. So that's going to be our text this morning, the Exodus 20, verse 12 passage, as we continue in our series on the Ten Commandments. Now, last week, we looked at the fourth commandment about remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and we didn't quite finish. So next week, we'll come back and finish up the fourth commandment. But today, being Father's Day, I couldn't pass up the opportunity for us to spend some time thinking about the fifth commandment. So with that in mind, the title of the message this morning is just simply, Honor Your Father and Your Mother. Let's begin with prayer. Our Father, I am thankful for the earthly fathers that you have given to each of us. And your intention in those earthly fathers is that they would give us a picture, an imperfect one, a fallible one, but a picture nonetheless of you, our loving, glorious Heavenly Father, the Almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the unchangeable God. Father, I am thankful that I can call you my Father. And you tell us that that's so for every believing person. And I pray, Father, as we consider this passage this morning that is talking in particular in the context of honoring our earthly fathers, our earthly mothers. Nonetheless, there's much for us to learn here about dealing with authority in our lives, about having spirits of gratitude and respect and appreciation. And so I pray, Father, that you would apply this passage in our individual lives in exactly the way that is needed. Certainly, in some measure, having to do with our relationship with the fathers that you've given us. In some cases, our fathers are in heaven, no longer alive on this earth. But nonetheless, we, even in those instances, honor their memory. And for many, they still have earthly fathers. For many young people, they dwell in the homes of their earthly fathers and mothers. And I pray, Lord, that we would learn from this passage. There's nothing profound here, nothing surprising. But might we be reminded of the responsibility, of the calling, of the command that you give us to honor our fathers and our mothers. And on this Father's Day, though certainly that command applies every day of the year, might we just take those special steps to the degree that we have opportunity to be a special blessing to those you have given to us as fathers. I ask, Father, that you'd guide my words. I pray that you would give attentiveness to your people, that we would hear your word, that we would be challenged by your word, that we would be sensitive to the Spirit's application of your word, and that we might be changed because of it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I think most of us have heard, I've even mentioned it at the beginning of this series, that the Ten Commandments can be viewed in certain measure in two sections. The first four commandments elaborate on what Jesus calls the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And those first four commandments really instruct us in how we can do that. But then Jesus went on to say that there is a second great commandment, like unto the first one, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And in the last half of the commandments, the last five in particular, the prohibitions against murder and adultery and stealing and bearing false witness and coveting, those commandments exemplify what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, one of my former pastors used to refer to this fifth commandment, right, which kind of stands between the first four and the last five. Most people think that it actually headed the second tablet of the law. But this former pastor used to refer to it as the hinge or the bridge commandment that tied the two tables together. And his contention was that children can't really say they're loving and honoring God apart from honoring their parents. After all, parents are the first authority figures that we encounter in our lives. And to some measure at least, the attitude we develop toward our earthly parents will affect our attitude toward other authorities later in life. And ultimately, our attitude toward our parents will, to some degree, affect how we respond to God's authority in our lives. Because you see, it's as we submit to our earthly parents that helps us learn how to submit to God. So there's a connection between this fifth commandment and the earlier four. And at the same time, learning to love and honor your parents shapes the attitude you'll have towards other people in all of the various relationships of life. So there's a sense in which the fifth commandment, you know, joins to those last five, and it stands between the two halves and serves as a connection between loving God and loving your neighbor. You know, that said, regardless of how you want to think about the connections between the various commandments, you know, we just want to focus this morning on this fifth commandment in and of itself. And it is so clear in telling us very, very plainly to honor our parents. Now, it would be maybe easier for us to obey God regarding this commandment if He had said, honor your father and your mother as long as they're honorable. I realize there are some here who had parents where they didn't treat you as they ought. There wasn't a lot of love shown. Maybe there was even abandonment. Or maybe if it said, honor your father and your mother as long as you feel like they're deserving of honor. Maybe you had an abusive parent. But even if that's the background that you have experienced, are experiencing, God's word stands and it says, without disclaimer, honor your father and your mother. It's a commandment that was important to the Lord Jesus. He drew attention to it in His teaching. He, as Brother Jonathan alluded to this morning during the Sunday school hour, He confronted the Pharisees and the scribes who in word affirmed the validity of the fifth commandment, but then found ways to excuse their lack of financial support for their parents. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. But Jesus confronted that problem. And Jesus embraced the fifth commandment in how He lived His own life. You know, it's really amazing when you think about it. The sinless Son of God honored and lived in submission to fallible, imperfect parents. Now, I'm of the opinion that Joseph was a godly man, characteristically. I'm of the opinion that Mary was a godly woman, characteristically. But Jesus was perfect, without sin. And that was not true of His parents. And if anyone could say, you know what, I don't have cause to honor them because of this, or in this certain circumstance, it would have been Jesus. And yet Jesus chose to honor and live in submission to His parents. It's generally believed that the Lord Jesus died at the age of 33. And of those 33 years, He spent the first 30 of them in His village home in Nazareth. So think about that. The Savior of the world spent more than 90% of His earthly life at home with His family in a little village, much of that time working as a carpenter, the trade that He learned from His earthly father, Joseph. And you say, why so long? Why 30 years at home? And I've heard people speculate that, well, you know, a man wasn't really considered to be an adult withstanding until about age 30. And certainly I understand that age brings a certain amount of credibility. But it seems to me that more likely the reason in the providence of God that Jesus lived those 30 years at home was because Joseph, His earthly father, died young. As you look through the accounts of Jesus' ministry, you see reference to Mary, you see reference to the siblings of Jesus, but Joseph is not mentioned after Jesus' childhood. And Jesus, as the eldest son, in my conclusion, apparently took upon himself the burden of supporting his mother and his younger brothers and sisters. And most likely, when he was about 30, all of his younger siblings were of age, if you will. They were at the point of adulthood. Jesus honored his father's memory. He honored his mother by caring for the family as an older son would. And even at the cross, as Jesus was there dying for the sins of the whole world, he's concerned for the welfare of his mother. And he honors her by asking his beloved friend and disciple, the Apostle John, to care for Mary as long as she lived. And of course, John agreed to do so. Bottom line, Jesus emphasized the importance of the fifth commandment both in his teaching and in his own life. And then I want us to think for a moment about the book of Ephesians, where we see Paul affirming the importance of the fifth commandment in his teaching about family. He says this, Ephesians 6 and verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Why? "For this is right," because it's the right thing to do. So that verse addresses the appropriate action of obedience, of submission, of doing what you've been asked to do. And young people, I would encourage you, do it immediately. Do it completely. Do it without argument or complaint. Do it cheerfully. Do what you're asked to do. Listen to your parents. Do what they ask. That's verse 1. But verse 2 goes deeper. This second expression isn't simply referring to obedient actions, but it addresses the heart. It speaks of an attitude. Honor your father and your mother, Paul says. And here he's quoting the fifth commandment. And folks, we need to understand this commandment is primarily about our attitude. Now, a right attitude will lead to certain actions, and it'll result in certain words. When you honor someone, you speak to them in a certain way. But this matter of honoring all begins in the heart. And then as he quotes the fifth commandment, Paul says it's the first commandment with promise. He provides that little bit of commentary. He says that because God made a promise when he handed down this commandment. Take a look in your Bibles there at Exodus 20, verse 12, our text. "Honor thy father and thy mother," that. Okay, and the idea is, in order that. Here's what will come of that. "Thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And here Paul is actually quoting from Deuteronomy 5. So he also includes that idea that it may go well with thee. But really, that's all hand in hand. That's all part of it. So as Paul emphasizes at the end of verse 2, he emphasized that there's a promise of God's blessing to those who keep this commandment. Now, some of the earlier commandments that we've looked at included warnings. This one has a promise. It has a blessing. And as given to Israel, the blessing was that they would dwell in the land of Palestine for a long time, and that things would go well with them there. And in Ephesians 6 and verse 3, Paul generalizes the promise so as to include his Gentile readers, we who are New Testament believers, saying that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And what does that mean for us? Well, first, there's a principle, I think, that disobedience to parents will result in the breakdown of actually even the foundation of society. Romans chapter 1 teaches us that. Disobedience to parents is one mark of those whom God has given over to their depraved rebellion. It's a mark of the godlessness of the last days, 2 Timothy 3:2 tells us. When children disobey and dishonor their parents, they don't respect any other authority, including the law of the land. So life does not go well with a disrespectful child. And in fact, in a practical sense, that often leads young people down a path of problems with society, leading to prison, leading to death. And second, there's a general principle that obedient children who honor their parents will live more spiritually fruitful lives on this earth. And frankly, heeding the instruction of your father and embracing the law of your mother will, in many practical ways, give you a longer life. You know, there's a reason that parents teach their children to look both ways before they cross. There's a reason they teach their children, don't get in a car with a stranger. There's a lot of practical instruction that in its natural outworking is protective. and is cleansing and edifying for young people. Now, we think about verse 1 there, about children obey their parents. You know, you say, well, who are the children he's talking about? And that Greek word can refer to children of varying ages. Obviously, Paul is speaking to children old enough to understand the command because he addresses them directly. And they could have ranged in age from the very young to perhaps even young adults still living at home. And I want to suggest that as long as a child is single and dependent on his or her parents for financial support, he or she is, in my opinion, obligated to obey your parents unless they command you to do something that would require disobeying God. Now, the wise parents realizes that the older your children get, the less you want to be about control and the more you want to be about influence. But the fact is, children have that obligation, surely within their parents' home, to obey. But then we get to verse 2, and that is clearly a principle for a lifetime. The fifth commandment, a principle for a lifetime, young or old, living at home or not, married or single, even if you have your own children, there is a responsibility, there is an expectation to honor your father and mother. The command to honor your parents doesn't have an expiration date. It doesn't have a terminal age. There aren't term limits for parent-child relationships. There's no opt-out provision either. All of us owe our earthly fathers and mothers honor. And God promises His blessing to those who keep that sacred charge. So here, we're just finishing up really the first observation I want us to consider regarding this fifth commandment. God promises to bless those who honor their parents. It's the first command with promise. Now, in order to fulfill or to obey what God has commanded, in order to experience His blessing, we need to understand what it means to honor your father and your mother. What's involved in honoring your parents? And that's what I want us to spend most of our remaining time talking about this morning. What does it mean to honor your father and your mother? Well, honoring your parents means, first of all, valuing them, you know, being thankful for them. To honor something or someone is to recognize its value. When you see the word honor in the New Testament, as in Ephesians 6:2, it has the idea of giving value to something. Let me show you how that word is used a few other places in the New Testament, and there are many of them. But one example would be Acts 4:34. It says, neither was there any among them that lacked. We talked about this Wednesday night in the early church and how they all gave for the care of their brothers and sisters in Christ. But it says, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and they brought the prices. The word there translated prices is the same word that's translated honor in Ephesians 6:2. Honor your father, value your father and mother. Those who were possessors of lands or houses, they sold them. They brought the value of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. Here's another example from the book of Acts, and we'll just do this second one. We won't do more after that. But Acts 7:15 and 16 says that Jacob, this is when Stephen is preaching to the elders there, and it says, Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Sychem and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money. And the word translated sum, again, the same one that's translated honor or value. For a value of money of the sons of Amor, the father of Sychem. We honor our fathers and mothers by recognizing their value. You know, and I think that's in the broadest possible sense, valuing the importance of the family, of parents in our society. The value of our fathers and mothers in our own families. The values of fathers and mothers in our churches. That's why we do recognize fathers and mothers on Mother's Day and Father's Day. And valuing especially our own fathers and mothers and their personal involvement in our lives. As you get older, most of us have no trouble recounting the thousands of ways our parents invested in our lives. And again, I understand there are exceptions. Not every parent conducts themselves as they ought. But for most of us, even if you had unbelieving parents, you know, they invested in a lot of ways in your life. They taught you many things. They made sacrifices for you. They showed you love, and on it goes. And when we recognize that value, when we remember all that they've done, when we testify of it, when we say on Father's Day, thank you, Dad, you know, for your love for me, for your care for me, for how you did this for me, for what the things that you taught me, we honor them. Because we're expressing the value that we place on them and that we place on what they've done for us. You know, this is one of those instances where the right attitude, an attitude of honor, of valuing, leads to appropriate words, to the expressing of thanks. Let me add one more thing about this matter of valuing. And this maybe comes into play more for older children rather than young ones. You honor your parents not only by valuing who they are and what they've done, but by valuing their wisdom and valuing their advice. Someone has observed, rather tongue-in-cheek, that parents are at their dumbest when a child is about 18 years old. Okay? Let me explain what I mean by that. Right? When your children are four, right, dad is a genius. I mean, he knows everything, he can do everything, right? And then that child gets older, and as that child enters into the teenage years, it seems like, you know, dad isn't so smart anymore. He's wrong on some things. I don't necessarily agree with his judgment. And it's around about age 18 that they say that, you know, as far as young people are concerned, they know a lot more than mom and dad. But thankfully, they keep getting older. And they keep getting older. And pretty soon they have children of their own. And suddenly, you know, mom and dad weren't so dumb. They're pretty smart. And as a young parent, you find yourself saying to your own children the same things that your mom and dad said to you. And maybe when you were younger, you were bugged by that and you felt like, don't nag me. And now you're the one doing the nagging because you realize there's wisdom there. Now, young people, I'm not saying you have to go through that process. It would be a glorious thing for you to value the wisdom of your parents every day of your life, including your 18th birthday. But let's understand as you get older, you know, sometimes you get into young adulthood and you kind of fail to draw upon the resource that is your mom, that is your dad, and the experiences of life that they have that they can share with you, the wisdom that they have. And if God has blessed you with Christian parents, the experiences they have walking with the Lord and seeing God provide and seeing God's hand in their lives that they want to share with you and that they want to encourage you with. One of the more gratifying things you can experience as a parent is when your older children value your advice. When they aren't living at home anymore, but they want to hear from you. They want your advice. I remember many years ago when I was a school principal, and I asked a fellow that I knew who was an assistant pastor to be the speaker for our school camp. And he was probably about 35 years old at the time. He had, I think, four children at that point in his life, and I talked with him about it, and he said, you know, that sounded like something that he was interested in doing, and I'd already talked to his pastor to make sure it would be okay if he was willing to do that. But before he gave me an answer, he said, you know, I want to give my dad a call and ask him what he thinks. His dad was a pastor somewhere else, but he valued his dad's opinion, even as a man well established. I was asking him to come for a reason. He was a man worthy of respect, a godly man, an effective minister of the gospel, one who had had a lot of impact on young people in a very positive way. And yet he says, you know, I want to talk to my dad about this. And obviously he's going to ask the Lord about it, but from a human standpoint, he wanted his dad's input. He valued his dad. And in so doing, he honored his dad. And I often don't give, you know, personal anecdotes like this, but this just really touched me. A few months ago, I had a similar experience with my son. And he was considering a job change. And he called and he asked me for my input. And we talked several times as he was, you know, working through the different ins and outs and deciding what the Lord would have him do. And I tried to be careful not to say you should do this or whatever, in part because I didn't know. I mean, it wasn't like there was a right decision and a wrong decision, but it was his decision. But he wanted to see what thoughts might come to my mind and consider those things. And it was a blessing to me more than he would probably ever know. And let me just say this, you know, my son didn't ask me in order to honor me. He asked me because he wanted to hear what I had to say. But he did honor me by asking me because he genuinely valued the input. And you know, it was a rebuke to me because as I reflect back to the way that I handled a good number of decisions in my young adult life, I didn't do that like I should have. I didn't always call my dad and say, "Dad, what do you think? You know, what's your take on this?" Maybe it was because I knew that he saw certain things differently and you know, maybe I wouldn't like his name. But you know what, folks? We ought to do that. However old we are, we ought to value the wisdom of our parents. Your parents love you. They care for you. They want the best for you. You know, you don't have to be afraid of what they might say. And if they're wise parents, they'll give you the latitude because they know you've got to make your own decision and they want to promote independence. It's not that they want to control your life. But you honor your father. You honor your mother as an adult child when you show an interest in their wisdom, in their experiences, in their advice. Honoring your parents means valuing them. It means valuing your relationship with them. It means valuing their advice. It means valuing what they've done for you and expressing gratitude both for them and to them. Honoring your parents also means respecting them. Respecting them. Whereas the Greek word for honor emphasizes value, the Hebrew word, the one that we find in our text, honor your father and your mother, that word for honor emphasizes weight or heaviness, okay? Something that is weighty. Now the point of the weight idea isn't poundage, okay? But significance. Though I will say I kind of chuckled at one writer who suggested that if one of your parents is a few pounds overweight, maybe that will help you remember what the word honor means, okay? But, you know, the idea there is giving weight, not taking lightly, but taking seriously, viewing with gravity the influence, the ideas, the advice, the place that your parents have in your life. And it's interesting, that Hebrew word that gets translated honor in the Ten Commandments is often translated glory when used in reference to the Lord. We are to honor God, glorify God, give weight to Him. And that same expression is used in terms of our attitude towards our parents. Now, any parent worth his or her, Christian salt doesn't want to be glorified. But my point is that, you know what? The bar is high. The command of the attitude that we are to have towards our parents is really to be a high one. We are to give them great honor. Even to the point where you could think about it as in terms of glory. I would suggest glorifying God for the parents that He's given you. But that is the word that is used there. You know, when we glorify the Lord, we attach the utmost weight or significance to who He is and what He does. It means to assign Him the highest place because He's worthy of it. You know, the opposite of glorifying God is to treat Him lightly, to shrug Him off, to discount His commands as insignificant. But here in our text, we're told to have that kind of view also towards our dads and our moms, putting them in a place of honor, of weightiness. And as we see someone's value, as we recognize that God has put them in a place of honor in our lives, as we recognize the significance of their life to us, we will respect them. And that's an integral part of showing honor. You know, I suppose in some sense it's the hardest part too. You know, I mean, it's one thing to acknowledge that Dad does lots of stuff for me, but it's another to be wholly respectable. You know, especially for young people. You tend to be so self-centered and critical. You know, that's, I mean, we all have that penchant, but maybe that's a little bit more in the province of youth as well, especially of those in places of authority in our lives. But God calls us to always respect our parents. And let me suggest, young people, some things that aren't respectful. You know, interrupting them, sighing, rolling your eyes, throwing their advice back in their face. Well, you always say this. Raising your voice, arguing, ridiculing, complaining about them to your peers. Yeah, and the list could go on a lot longer than that, but those things are dishonoring to your parents. And that's a serious, serious problem. We all have an obligation to honor our fathers and our mothers. And when we are disrespectful, when we are dishonoring, God takes a dim view of that. Proverbs 20 and verse 20 says, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Now, maybe you're a young person and you'd say, "Well, I may have some issues respecting my parents all the time, but I'd never curse them, so this verse really isn't talking about me." You know what, folks? The word that's translated curseth, you know what that word means? It means to make little of or to make light of. Honoring is giving weight to and significance to. Dishonoring, then, is not giving weight to something. Discounting it, dishonoring it. So this isn't talking about just in a profane way, in a twisted, off-color verbiage way of you know, barking at your parents, but it's talking about not having a spirit of honor towards them, of speaking in a way that demeans them, that diminishes their value, the significance of what they say. And in the Hebrew language, that can be described as cursing your father or mother, and if you do it, it won't go well for you. That's the point. Young person, you need to honor your parents by being respectful, by treating them with dignity, by listening to what they say, by obeying them with a good spirit. And to honor your dad today on Father's Day and every day is to value him and to respect him because he is deserving of it. Not deserving of it in your estimation, deserving of it in the Bible's economy. And you say, "Pastor, you don't know my dad." You know, true, true. Dads aren't perfect. I mean, I may know him, but I don't know the dad that lives in your house, right? We all know what we see outside. We don't always see what goes on inside. And dads aren't perfect. None of us are. Moms aren't either. And some are, I suppose, less perfect than others. But we owe our parents respect, even in the midst of their imperfections. Even if you have an abusive father, you may have to stay away for safety's sake. But there's still a spirit of honoring. God excludes no one from his willingness to forgive. And let me encourage you to do the same by his grace. Forgive, and by God's grace, honor your father as best you can. Even knowing that maybe there are some really serious issues there that don't really merit appreciation. But as you do that, God promises his blessing. If nothing else, value him for giving you life and sustaining in whatever ways he did. So to honor your parents is to recognize their value. To honor your parents is to respect them. So if you put those two things together, the Greek idea of value and the Hebrew idea of weight, you get something that kind of is summed up in this expression. You know, your dad is worth his weight in gold. How's that? Okay, valuable and weighty. Okay, honor him. And lastly, honoring your parents also involves caring for them. And let me ask you to turn to Mark chapter 7 and verse 9, if you would, please. Mark chapter 7, verse 9, in the Pew Bibles, it's page 1404. Now, this morning during Sunday school, Brother Jonathan had us take a look at Matthew 15, which is the other place in the Gospels that describes this particular situation. So you've already been exposed to this a little bit earlier. I alluded to it at the beginning of the message. Now we're going to look at it just a little bit more. We don't have much time left, so I'll just touch on it. But take a look at Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 13. Jesus says unto them, to the Jewish leaders, to the scribes, the Pharisees, the rabbis, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition." Okay, and that's one of the problems there that had happened in Judaism, as we were taught this morning, is they were putting their tradition ahead of the teaching of the Scripture and minimizing the actual teaching of the Scripture and then just adding on top of it all these other stipulations that came out of the minds of the rabbis. Verse 10, "For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother." So Jesus is referring to the fifth commandment. And then he also references Exodus 21:17, "Whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death." And he says, so God has said, you must honor your father and mother, and it's a serious, serious thing not to do so. Verse 11, "But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban," that is to say, it's a gift, "by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do." So here, just a couple of things that really aren't Jesus' primary point in this account, but that are relevant to what we're talking about here. First, Jesus makes it clear that the fifth commandment is not just for children. It goes right through into the old age of your parents, and you're meant to respect them and honor them and even care for them at that stage in their lives. And in addition to the fifth commandment, I mentioned Jesus quotes Exodus 21:17, which says, "He that curseth," that's that same word again, "he who makes light of, who minimizes, who diminishes his father or his mother, shall surely be put to death." That's what in the New Testament is described as, "Let him die the death." Okay, he will surely be put to death. So the point is God takes dishonoring your parents seriously, and in fact, under the law, you could even impose the death penalty. But a Jewish man-made tradition had evolved that said that if your parents had need in their old age, and you as a son, maybe you had the means, the ability to meet that need, but you could get out of it. You could get out of using your resources to meet your parents' need by declaring it Corban, by declaring it a gift, a gift of God, a gift devoted to God. And so the idea, right, this kind of twisted workaround was, well, you've taken this money that you had intended to use to help care for your parents, but you had devoted it to God. You had dedicated it to God. You had given it over to God. So therefore, you know, God comes first, so you can't use it to minister to the needs of your parents. And then presumably what would happen, I think you described it as putting it in your pocket and pulling it back out later, right? So now after the parents have passed on, suddenly we kind of renege on that devotion to God, on that Corban gift, and now the money comes back and I've got it to use on me, which was the goal all along. And apparently this was something that was just transparently done all the time. And Jesus calls them out on it. Now, you know, that was Jesus' point, was to confront the Pharisees about their traditions and about the way they didn't really follow what the law actually said. They weren't really doing what God intended. They were doing their own manipulation of it so they could look good on the outside, seem pious, and yet do their own thing. But for our purposes today, I think it makes it clear that there is an obligation, that part of honoring your father and your mother means that if need be, you invest what you have to minister to their needs later in life, even as they did when you were young and they sacrificed all that they had in order to care for you. Now, that's not to say that people can't have retirement plans and things like that. That's all fine. But if your parents have need, you have a responsibility to honor them and care for them. And I've witnessed that amongst many in our assembly, and it always is a blessing to me to see children, adult children, oftentimes fairly senior adult children as it is, honoring their parents sacrificially, by caring for them. And Jesus makes it clear that failure to do so is a serious matter. Let me add an application for young people, right? You don't have resources, really, to give, okay? You might not be in a position now to care for your parents financially, but let me suggest this. You can certainly care for things around your home. You can contribute through your willing efforts, you know, to manage the home, to clean the home, to fix things, to maintain the home, whether it's a house or an apartment, but that place that your parents have provided for you, you ought to invest what you have, which is your time, your elbow grease, your efforts, in order to support them, even if it doesn't involve writing a check. Young person, Jesus is serious about things like that too. You don't get to declare your time Corbin and withhold investing it in helping your dad or your mom. And that leads to a last observation I want to make this morning. And I think I've made a similar point in connection with each of the earlier four commandments. And that's that God takes these commandments very seriously. He takes the fifth commandment seriously. And so should we. You see, it's no small thing to dishonor your parents. That's true whether you're a youngster, a teenager, a young adult, or someone older like me with a mom who, in the Lord's providence, is still alive and still part of my life. So here's my last exhortation for you this morning. Don't be guilty of dishonoring your parents. God promises His blessing for those who honor their parents, but He takes a dim view of those who don't. In fact, the Old Testament law imposed the sternest of penalties for those guilty of breaking the fifth commandment. And I already alluded to that a little bit. I remember this would have been back about 25 years ago. And I was sitting in a sermon being preached by evangelist John Getch. I know you guys know who that is. He's now the vice president out at West Coast. But at the time, he was an itinerant evangelist. And it was the first time, I'd never even heard of him before that day. My wife went, there was a week of meetings at another church across town, and my wife went with a friend, I think, on Monday night, and she said, oh, you got to come, I was a student, and I was studying hard. She said, you got to come hear this guy preach. So I went on Tuesday night of that week, whenever that would have been, maybe 94-ish, something like that. And I don't remember everything about that message, but there are a couple of things that I remember as if I heard them yesterday. And one of the passages that he quoted was Proverbs 30 and verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. And he went on to elaborate a little about, you know, the eagles are going to come down. They are going to pluck out that eyeball and they are going to eat it. And then he said, you're looking at me, you're saying, what in the world? You know, what is all this graphic stuff about? It's because God wants to make the point that is a serious, serious thing to Him when a person does not honor their parents, when they don't respect their parents, when they mock their parents, when they make little of their parents, when they make light of their parents. And there are many passages in the Old Testament in particular, but Jesus invokes those in the New Testament context, that teach us that, you know what, it's a dangerous thing to dishonor, to disobey, to disregard your parents. And God makes that point again and again, that He's serious about honoring your father. He's serious about honoring your mother, valuing them, obeying them, respecting them, caring for them. And if you do that, God's blessing will be upon you. On this Father's Day, let me wrap this up by focusing especially on the younger generation in our midst. You know, though this is still going to be true no matter how old you are. But if you, young person, have a Christian father, he will be greatly honored if you will just simply do right. You know, if you will choose to live right. If you will choose to follow the Lord Jesus and serve Him with your life, Your father will be thrilled. He will be greatly honored. And that idea is expressed in this verse, young people. Just one last passage I want you to see as we conclude this morning. And this, I believe, is the heart of every godly father here. Proverbs 23:15. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. You know, I am here to tell you that for my kids, that is absolutely true. Nothing thrills my soul, nothing rejoices my heart more than to see my children walking with the Lord, making wise choices, making biblical choices, taking steps to honor the Lord. And you know, and every God-loving parent here, that's their desire. I'll tell you that. That when they see you making those good steps, those good choices, it thrills their heart. And when they see you making bad choices, it's a grief to their heart. And young people, I hope that you want to thrill the heart of your parents. Now, altruistically, we ought to just want to thrill the heart of God. You know, and if we do that, our parents are going to come along and they're going to enjoy it. But sometimes it's helpful for us to just seriously and soberly consider the impact that we have on those whom God has chosen to put in our lives. And if that helps you keep God first in your life, the thought that that will be a blessing, that will be honoring to my mom and dad, then praise God if He can help you, encourage you, motivate you in that regard. Remember that opening story I told you about the guy who ignored the sign, only to come back later and realize the truth of it? Young people, I hope you don't do that when it comes to the fifth commandment, that you don't drive around it for now and say, well, I can always come back later. Listen to the command to honor your father and mother. Don't ignore it. Don't blow by it. If you do, there's a spiritual catastrophe on the road in front of you. Don't you tell yourself, well, I'll go and come back. But by God's grace, obey this command. Ask God to help you to honor, respect, value, obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother, that you may experience all the blessings which the Lord your God intends for you. Our Father.